Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you'll hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and today we feature a special interview with Rafael Butch Francisco, the CEO of PAGCOR, the government-owned company that operates casinos and other gaming offerings in the Philippines. PAGCOR recently had its charter renewed by the government for another 25 years and had its role expanded to include development of a huge casino entertainment complex on the shores of Manila Bay. Francisco explains how that project has been progressing, as well as other details about PAGCOR's operations around the Philippines. He spoke with me at G2E Asia in Macau in June. Butch Francisco, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Very interesting session here at G2E Asia, and I'm going to ask you to repeat some of the things you said for the benefit of our audience. Give us a background on what is happening with the Entertainment City project in Manila Bay. I think that's probably the most exciting project you have going on right now.
Yes, thank you, Roger, for this opportunity. Last year, as you all know, that the charter of PAGCOR has been amended that will allow PAGCOR to extend licenses to private corporations. And in June 20, 2007, this law amending the charter has been approved and it's now in effect. It also allowed PAGCOR to extend its gaming operation for another 25 years, because the PAGCOR charter was to expire in July 2008 this year. So this opened up, new opportunities for investors to come to the Philippines. We have been attracting, we've been talking with them since 2002, and the only issue was really the licensing issue and the renewal of the PAGCOR charter. So this is now, a major development, and so we have the PAGCOR City, which has been conceptualized since 2002, is now being implemented. We have officially acquired the site from the Philippine government, although we are still a government corporation, but we still need to acquire the land through a sale. Mm-hmm. We have purchased the land from another government agency, so the ownership of the 45 hectares is now with PAGCOR. We have also allowed the investors to, should they need additional land, we have allowed them to purchase or lease land around it, because I know that the 45 hectares may not be sufficient for even two or three investors to put up integrated resorts. No, So they have already done that, and we have already issued our notice to proceed to the investors, to the four qualified investors who have passed the initial requirements of our terms of reference, which we made public last September, even prior to September. It was in September last year that we were able to sit down with the potential investors and clarify their concerns, and last March we made publicly the announcement of four qualified foreign operators that have qualified to invest in gaming in the Philippines, in the Manila Bay, specifically in the Manila Bay project, and the provisional license agreement has been negotiated and approved. In fact, now the two investors are ready to start their construction in third quarter of this year.
What is the infrastructure like in terms of access to the land and things of that nature? Is it good, or do you need to improve it?
No need to improve it, because the 45 hectare development is part of a development reclaimed some 25 years ago. Okay, this is what we call the Boulevard 2000 or Bay City for short. No, it's along Manila Bay, and this this is the only property, the 45 hectares, the only property left in the area. Around it, our developments have already been in place. We have the biggest, one of the biggest malls in the world already there, existing, operating. There are residential condominiums, residential houses in the area. So the roads are ready. It's very near the airport. It's now being visited by domestic and foreign tourists. In other words, it's the city itself, the area where the Pagco City will be, is ready.
So you have not just casinos you want there. You want fully integrated resorts such as we're sitting in here at the Venetian in Macau.
Correct.
With the retail and the dining
entertainment, and of course the hotels. Now, we lack hotel rooms in Manila. Right now, our able to provide only 7,000 to 8,000 rooms. No? And the most of these hotels, or all of them, have an occupancy rate of more than 90%. So there's a need for us to be, we should have more hotels, and the investors have committed to put up another 7,000 rooms. So that should double the rooms that are going to be made available for local and foreign tourists within the next 5 years. No? And we should be able then to attract major conventions, major events, once these new hotels are built in Pagco City.
Now, this will also create thousands of jobs for Filipinos.
Definitely, we are projecting new jobs of some 250,000 new jobs will be created during and after the construction. Once these facilities open, they will not have problem in terms of workforce. We have more than enough workforce. We expect that many of the of the workforce, even from other countries, that they could be coming back to the Philippines because of the opportunities that are now will be in place for them to no longer have to leave the Philippines.
Sure. And the Philippines has a tremendous reputation for customer service, for hospitality. So this is almost a natural type of evolution for the Philippine industry.
Definitely. Because since for the past more than 20 years now, we have been, the policy of the government has been to provide employment to millions of Filipinos. And you know, the Philippines has become a major supplier of labor to almost all countries in the world, no?
Yes.
Any country in the world, you will see a Filipino labor, from domestic helper to business executives. You know, we are now the number one supplier of manpower, and so it is a major advantage for investors to invest in the Philippines, since the workforce are already there.
Now, what is the tax rate for operators in the Philippines?
The tax rate will be for both all markets, except for the foreigners, it's going to be 25%. Mm-hmm. It includes the 5% franchise tax that will be paid to the internal revenue. For players holding foreign passports, it's 10 plus 5 mm-hmm. or 15%. We have to mention this 5%. This is the one that is paid to the national government.
Right.
That's a 5% tax. What's being paid to Pagco, the 10% or the 20%, that is Pagco revenues. Mm-hmm. Because you know that we won't be building new casinos once the Pagco City is put up in Manila. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have 4 casinos in Metro Manila. Mm-hmm. So there will be 2 or 3 mega casinos in Pagco City, and that should be sufficient for the market. No?
Yes. Yeah. Now you've also got casinos in other parts of the country. I understand that casinos in Cebu are doing excellent as well.
They are. Since Pagco will now be focused on these areas, mm-hmm. since we have opened up the gaming to foreign investors in Manila.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a misconception that PAGCOR owns and operates all these casinos. You're just the franchisor. Is that correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct. We are a franchise given to us by the national government through law. Mm-hmm. But because of the amendment, mm-hmm. It has allowed now PAGCOR to license casinos. Before, we were not able to.
Right, yeah. Right. So how many private operators are there in the Philippines?
Under the existing law, under the what we call the economic zone status, economic zone areas allow casino gaming, provided they are licensed by PAGCOR. That's the law that protects casino operators to put up facilities in economic zones. And right now we have four operators doing business in the economic zones. They operate these casinos mainly for foreigners. They are of course mainly. In other words, they are, locals are still allowed to enter these casinos and play should they want to.
Right.
Sure.
Right. And these economic zones include the former Clark Air Force Base,
yes.
and the Subic Bay.
The Subic Bay.
Base.
That's mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. In fact, the biggest operator there is Fontana Leisure Resort. Most of the markets are coming from mainland and other countries in Asia. The revenues is you could say that as much as what PAGCOR is generating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also have other gaming operations there, smaller slot parlors and things of that nature.
This is the first time that we have introduced this. Since PAGCOR was created, it allowed. in fact, it serves as a model where an investor can engage in gaming under this model, what we call a lease arrangement, where they put up the facility, they supply the gaming machines, PAGCOR operates the facility for them under a revenue sharing arrangement. 40% of the revenues is for them, 60% is retained by PAGCOR for the taxes, for the salaries.
So these are for small operators, small hotels, restaurants.
They must be in the hotels. Uh-huh. These are what we call VIP mm-hmm. slot parlors. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And there is a little gaming, meaning tables. No? Mm-hmm. We allow 4 to 5 tables be put in these slot parlors. Mm-hmm.
How does the regulatory system work? I understand the regulatory body is also a part of PAGCOR. Exactly how does that work?
No, PAGCOR is the regulatory authority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We report under the Office of the President directly. In other words, it's the President of the Philippines that is on top of PAGCOR.
Right.
Yeah. So PAGCOR has its own rules, which applies to the PAGCOR casinos and the private casino operators. That's how the law is. PAGCOR itself is general in the sense that it allows PAGCOR to do and enter into contract what it deem fit for as long as the it generates revenues. Because the main source of the main mission of PAGCOR is to generate source of revenue for the government.
Right.
That's about it.
Sure. Now you've got. You mentioned these four operators who are going to be in PAGCOR City.
Yes.
Who are some of these operators?
Okay, the four specifically, they are number one. We have Aruze Corporation. Mm-hmm. Aruze Corporation, as you all know, is a public listed company in Japan, but mm-hmm. Majority owned by Mr. Okada. Mr. Okada right. is a major partner of the people behind Wynn Resorts
yes.
in
mm-hmm.
Macau and Las Vegas. The second operator is the Genting Group through their subsidiary Star Cruises. It has entered into partnership with a local major the property developer, Alliance Global. It's also a publicly listed company. They've come up with a joint venture company that will develop their resort in PAGCOR City. The third one is Bloomberry Investments Limited. It is a new company organized by business people as well as foreign individuals. No? But they have not yet finalized their concept. No? They are although they have complied with the terms of reference, but they're still finalizing their main concepts. The fourth one is SM Investments Limited. Their concepts have been approved. They're already existing. They're operating the biggest malls in the country. In fact, they have the biggest, one of the biggest malls in Asia. So they are investing in our entertainment city.
So they will build a casino as well?
They will build a casino inside, because that's what lacks right now. They have about everything ready. They have the theaters. Well, they still have to build a major convention center, you know, which they plan to do. And then gaming is what's now to be able to complete their development.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they have, we have done business with them. Mm-hmm. In fact, they have built gaming facilities for us.
Okay.
Where we lease their facilities for our casinos.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Genting has a partner in Singapore with Universal Studios. Are they planning to do a theme park in Manila?
It's similar. It may not be Universal Studios, but hopefully it's still Universal Studios, mm-hmm. but it depends on their ongoing negotiations with the Universal Studios. But definitely it's going to be a branded theme park. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're looking for family attractions as well as business and convention facilities.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because the non-gaming activities will, as far as PAGCO is concerned, although casino gaming will always be the major source of revenues for them, but we expect that the model that has been successfully developed or implemented in Las Vegas will be almost the same model that will happen in the Philippines, no? Where non-gaming revenues will eventually maybe equal or even more, do more than gaming revenues.
Mm-hmm. Will you utilize the VIP system similar to they have here in Macau?
Well, it's up to the investors, no? What we are going to be telling them is that they must not be able to compete to the extent that they will offer one facility will offer more commissions than the other. You know. We will definitely regulate the commission scheme mm-hmm. which they will be doing for the VIP players.
Okay. Well, Butch, I know you have got plenty of things to do today, and we thank you for the time, and we will definitely follow up with you as we go down the road here, because this is a very exciting project for your company and for the Philippines as a whole.
Again, thank you for this opportunity, Roger.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.